Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you again to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this study will provide how Moses rehearses the laws of God to the Israelites. 613 laws were established for Israel to keep by God. And we will look at all of the essential rules and regulations that Israel is under, even to this very day. Now, I want to remind you, as I always do, that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And again, as I always do, highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open. Your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Again, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries if you have them. Now, before we get started, like I always do, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using. Thank you. In fact, the last session that we had, a comment was made from one of the listeners. Instruction number one in the book of Deuteronomy, I mentioned the land of milk and butter and honey. And I was asked, where did I get that from? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15 says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose good. So because of the term land of milk and honey, I added butter to it. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said through James, his half-brother, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth it not. But you have to ask correctly. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. So the promise is that you will receive wisdom if you ask for it correctly from God. Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Revelations chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. Again, the promise is that if you will get a reward if you are acting in accordance with your works correctly. Jesus said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Luke chapter 12, verse 43. There, the blessing is the promise. And if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing for Jesus Christ, that's what you shall receive. So, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, to the study. We're going to start with instruction number 8, and there are 32 instructions in this study series. So instruction number 8, the book of Deuteronomy is the text. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. That is the text we're going to be using, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. And this is the instruction that we're going to glean from the text that we're going to be reading. The instruction is, the way you are humbled and proven by God. That's what we're going to look at when we read the text. Keep in mind, the way you are humbled and proven by God. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 6 says this, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. So Israel is being told that they must obey the commandments if they expect to multiply and live good in the land that God has promised to their fathers, from their fathers. Verse 2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So again, God said he humbled and he proved Israel as they walked through the desert for 40 years to see if they would keep his commandments. Verse 3 says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. So again, God made Israel to suffer hunger so they would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 4 says, thy remnant waxed, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy feet swell these 40 years, that thou also should consider in thy heart that as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. So again, chastisement is a key element to what God did with Israel in the desert. Verse 6 says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. That was something significant for Israel to adhere to during their time in that garden. Now what we want to do is go to the remnant or the complement, and we're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, and we're going to also read verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 8, and that's where we're going to see how the way you are humbled and proven by God is complemented in this text by the Hebrew writer. Hebrew 12, verse 6 through 8 says, and we may not get through by the time that the break comes, but we'll read on until then. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So you can see that chastening is a part of godliness. Verse 7 says, after the break, we'll continue.
Where in the scripture does it teach that you ought to search and pursue happiness? You find happiness as you do your duty. You find happiness as you lead a disciplined life before God. You'll have periods of happiness. But God nowhere promises happiness is to be a goal in life. It's not a goal. Our goal is to obey God. Our goal is to do the will of God. Our goal is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we move along, we will pick up happiness here and there along the way. If you sense a longing for God, a desire to change and be a new person, that's God speaking to your heart. And as you respond, he will give you the ability and the power to change, because he has to do the changing. To delay makes the right decision harder. And indecision in itself is a choice. You decide tonight that you're going to wait till some other time. That's a choice. Away from God. And your heart gets harder, the Bible says. And the next time you have an opportunity to come to Christ, your heart may not be as ready as it is tonight. He can fill that cosmic void in your heart, because that void in your heart is made because you are made in the image of God. And without God, there's a void there that only God can fill. Nothing else can fill it. Marriage can't fill it. Drugs can't fill it. Sex can't fill it. Alcohol can't fill it. Friendships can't fill it. The church even can't fill it. Religion can't fill it. But the person of Jesus Christ can fill it and can give you a brand new life from tonight on, if you're willing to accept the challenge of Christ, who loved you so much that he died on the cross and rose again and is alive tonight, ready to come into your heart and into your life.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Continuing with the instruction, the way you are humbled and proven by God, we're in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. We're on verse 7, and it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. And then we conclude with verse 11, and it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So chastening is a part of godliness. We know that the psalmist said, or the proverbist said, King Solomon, that God chasteneth those whom he loved, and it was also mentioned in the book of Revelation. So we can see that chastening is significant. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us, my brothers and sisters, spiritually in our lives. It should mean that through our trials and tribulations, meaning experiences, if you believe and keep the faith in God, you will overcome and succeed in this life. That is the significance of what we are learning with that instruction. Now we'll go to instruction number 9. But before we continue, as always, if you have questions and you're in the chat room, get them to the host so he can get them to me. If not, you know the other medium. You got texting, and you have the email. All right, instruction number 9. This is where we're going. Back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter. We're going to be reading verse 10 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 through 14. And this is the instruction that we're going to be gleaning from the text we're reading. Do not forget the Lord thy God. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Do not forget the Lord thy God. This is critical. And this is what the Moses told Israel about that. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So Moses was telling Israel, don't forget God, especially after you can get fat off your meal that you've eaten. Verse 12 says, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and forget the Lord thy God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So that is so significant that you know what happens once we're full off of a meal. We kind of get lazy. So that is what Moses told Israel. Now let's go to our new complement, or let's go to the complement, our New Testament. We're going to go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to look at chapter 3 in the book of Colossians, and we're going to read verse 16 and 17 in Colossians, and we're going to see what the writer says about this and compares with it. Chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17, and this is what Paul says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So you can see that when you are today serving the Lord God, you cannot, in whatever you do in thought, word, and deed, you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that God is your breath and life. And if you forget to breathe, you know you die. Don't let your physical life disregard your spiritual life. That is significant. Don't forget about God. That's the key in this instruction. Now we're going to go to instruction number 10, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. And this is what we're going to glean from this reading. Righteousness and wickedness are defined. This is what the instruction is doing. Righteousness and wickedness are defined. So we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 through 6, and this is what the text says. Speak not thou in thy heart after that the Lord thy God has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord do bring them out from before thee. Now, Moses was telling Israel, because God brought them into the land of Canaan, and he kicked out the Hivites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Perizzites, that they were not going in because of their righteousness. They were going in because of the wickedness of those people that were in the land at that time. Verse 5 says, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart doest thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doeth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which he swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. So Moses reminded again, to even emphasize the fact that those folks that were kicked out, even though they were wicked, still Israel had no righteousness because they themselves were stiff-necked. And that is tantamount to they were wicked also. Now what we're going to do is go to our complement, the New Testament, and we're going to see exactly what Jesus said to compare and agree with this, what Moses told Israel. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. And this is what Jesus says about it. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So you can see today what Jesus is telling us, that righteousness and wickedness are defined. And we are in the category of wickedness because Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we know that. That's what the Bible teaches us. So that is the connection between the two, Old Testament and New Testament, for the instruction. Now, this is what the instruction should mean, my brothers and sisters, spiritually in our lives. It should mean that because of the knowledge of good and evil, we are all sinners. And you know that that knowledge was given to us when Adam and Eve fell, and that is what is constant in our lives today. And repentance through faithfulness, and we'll complete it after the break.
You're not supposed to know. You're not supposed to know. Life is a mystery. If you take away the mystery and everything was certain, you wouldn't need faith.
Like, I stand on this stage before you, and to be honest, I never thought I would be doing this. They put me in public speaking in college. I dropped the class on the second day. I despised it. As I was walking out, I'll never forget, I told my buddy, I said, I'd never be needing that.
Faith functions best when you don't know. So God often puts us in positions where we don't know to destabilize us from relying too much on what we know.
Yeah.
Like a trainer who starts you out, and he starts you out on a weight machine, okay? And then he puts you on a bench and he gives you free weights because now it's less stable. The less stable it is, the more muscles you build. Finally, he puts you on a ball where everything's unstable. And when he puts you on the ball, he's building up your core. So the more unstable your life becomes, the more you have to go inside yourself to stabilize yourself. You're strong enough to withstand instability.
Yeah.
And if you knew everything, you'd have no room for faith, for discovery, for innovation, because creativity comes in uncertainty. It comes in uncertainty, in the middle of chaos, because after a while, anytime you know too much, you stop living your best self.
And the beauty of life is when God takes a situation or a circumstance and he puts you on a path that you never imagined, and your life begins to flourish and serve as a blessing to a lot of people. But more times than not, you hit extreme chaos or extreme opposition on the way to getting to that point. Right? Like, you think about the 9/11 incident. I travel a lot. Right. Senseless act. A lot of people lost their lives. Right? And I remember reading an article, and in this article it spoke about the other side of the situation. And it talked about that morning, it was a wife and a husband, and they had a daughter. Right? And the wife went to the husband and she said, can you please take our daughter to kindergarten this morning? And the husband said, I really got some meetings I need to be at in that building. And the wife said, can you please do it? He said, I really got some meetings I need to be at. And the wife asked him one more time, can you please? He said, all right, I'll do it. Guy ends up taking a whole day off, ends up sparing his life. One gentleman on the New Jersey Turnpike, accident happened. He's frustrated. He's mad. He can't get to work. Accident ended up spearing his life. One gentleman got a new pair of shoes that day. He's walking. He gets a blister on his foot. He's going back home to change his shoes. He gets there, end up sparing his life. One guy went to a donut and coffee shop, went to get some donuts and coffee. As he's coming out of the shop, somebody spilled some coffee on his shirt, went home to change his shirt, ended up sparing his life. The other side. Right when the opposition happens and you step back in the perspective that you have about it, that's why I love Romans 8:28 when it says, and we know, it starts the verse off with a heavy level of conviction. It says, and we know that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his will and his purpose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, completing the instruction number 10, righteousness and wickedness are defined. As we already read the two testaments to see what was said, this is what the instruction should mean spiritually in our lives. That because of the knowledge of good and evil, which I explained, we are all sinners. And repentance through faithfulness through Jesus Christ is our only righteousness. Even though we're wicked, we know that because of grace, we have repentance and faithfulness to get us through. So that was the instruction number 10. Now we're going to go to instruction number 11, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy again, back to Chapter 10, verse 8 through 8 and 9 in chapter 10, Deuteronomy chapter 10, 8 and 9. And this is the instruction that we're going, or the instruction we're going to glean from the reading of the text. The tribe of Levi belongs to God exclusively, and the Christians belong to Jesus Christ exclusively. That is what we're going to identify in the text that we're reading. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 says this: at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. That is what, out of the 12 tribes of Israel, only one God picked as for him. The others he gave to gave them the land of Canaan. And this is what verse 9 says: wherefore Levi had no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. So Levi had no claim to the land of milk and honey. Levi only had claim to God. Now we're going to go to the New Testament, our complement. We're going to go to John, and we're going to go to John chapter 17, verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6, and we're going to see what Jesus Christ said about this. John chapter 17, verse 6, and this is what it says. It says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now we're going to go to verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And in verse 24, it says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now that tells you in Jesus' prayer that every one of us that are Christians belong to him. Now this is what solidifies it. In Revelations, go to the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Revelations, chapter 1, verse 5 through 6 is going to tell you what he has caused us to become as the Levites became to God. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Remember John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is, it's said about Jesus that he loved us so much that he washed us from our own sins in his own blood. And this is the result of what happened. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the Levites are priests for God. And the Christians, we Christians, are priests for Jesus Christ. And this is what the instruction should mean spiritually to us in our lives, that all Christians belong to Jesus, who has made us priests. And remember what the psalmist says, that Jesus, or the Messiah, is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. And the Hebrew writer verified that. And so we are responsible to Jesus Christ as his priest, to preach and to teach and to baptize as many as we meet and greet. That is our great commission, my brothers and sisters. That is number one for us to perform. Even though we know we're supposed to worship and praise the Lord in preaching and teaching and baptizing, we are worshiping and praising the Lord. Okay, if you have any questions and you know where to go, if you're in the chat room, get those questions to the host. If not, email me or text me. All right, now let's go to the next instruction, and it is number 12. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 29. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 26 through 29, and this is the instruction we're going to be gleaning from the text, blessings and curses. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters, blessings and curses. This is what Moses told Israel. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, either or. That's significant. They had no middle ground. Remember, lukewarm, you get spewed out. God was so definitive with Israel. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. The significance here is that Moses told them, you have two options, Israel. Either you're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. That's why early on we read about the stiff neck of Israel. That's what happened to them. Now let's go to our compliment. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and verse 41. And this is what the compliment is teaching us about the blessings and curses today. Jesus gave us a parable, and this is what he said in Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That means we're obeying. Now let's go to verse 41, and it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So you can see the connection, blessings and curses. Both ways we are told that we have no option. After the break, we'll continue.
Have you ever wanted something so bad? that you felt like you would give up nearly anything to get it. There are many pleasures in this life that will tell you that they can give you fulfillment or happiness or meaning. But I believe that each and every one of us have reached that point where we finally get that something that we want, only to discover that all it ultimately held for us was disappointment. And so we move on to the next thing, and then the next, and the next. And some of us are left wondering, is there even a purpose to our lives? Did you know that God understands that we need fulfillment? It's how He created us. And He didn't leave us without an answer. God has given us the answer to a fulfilled life, and that answer is found in a promise. But it's a promise that sometimes we don't want to hear. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Some of us are engaged in such a determined pursuit of a fulfilling life that we are passing right by the only one who can truly give us life. The issue is not that life is a bad thing. God desires us to have life and life to the full. However, the issue is that some of us have made life a bigger thing than Jesus. We have chosen the pursuit of life over the pursuit of Christ. The question Jesus is asking us in Matthew 16:25 is, "What am I worth to you?" What is Jesus worth to you and me? He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He gave up His life for us in a horribly tragic and painful way. He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He allowed Himself to be crucified for something He did not do, for something we did. Galatians 2:20 is a powerful statement that we as believers need to live by. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." A life of pursuit after Jesus is a life of friendship with Him. When we choose to seek Him first, He fills us with His Holy Spirit and He lives in us. When that happens, we're no longer looking to receive life from the things we see or the things we can get. Once that happens, we're walking in the life that He provides. And that is a life worth living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Praise the Lord, listeners. Here we go. We're looking at blessings and curses, and this is what this instruction of blessings and curses should mean to us spiritually in our lives. If we are faithful and repentant, we will be blessed. But if we are not, we will perish without redemption. Remember, the grace of Jesus Christ gives us our faithfulness and repentiveness. Other than that, we would have no blessing. Because again, as we read earlier, we're all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. All right, let us go now to instruction number 13. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. This is what we're going to use as the text, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the instruction that we're gleaning from the reading of this text, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. "When you cross over the river Jordan, no going back." All right? Now, this is what God has told Israel through Moses. Moses is telling Israel this in chapter 12, verse 1, and it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. So when you go into the land across the River Jordan, Israel, there's no going back. These are what you're going to be held accountable to accomplish, the statutes and the judgments and the commandments of God. Now let's go to our complement, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which I know we're all familiar with. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to see how this complement agrees and compares with what God told Moses to tell Israel when you cross over. Now, what our crossing over means is that when we are baptized and become Christians, okay? When we are baptized and we have the indwelling as well as the, there are three elements to being a full Christian. There is becoming a Christian and confessing it. There is being born again with baptism and water, and then there is the indwelling that you have, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost within you operating. Now, this is what Romans, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay. So it's both physical and spiritual when we cross over to Christianity. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can see that Paul is telling us even more so, even though when Israel crossed over Jordan, that was both physically and spiritually, Paul is giving it to us more definitively. He is explaining it to us per se. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that as we, as living beings, we have no choice but to obey God or forfeit eternal life with him. This is what it's telling us, and we also know that because of grace, we have repentance and faithfulness to help us over that hump. Now let's go to instruction number 14. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6 through 10. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6 through 10. And this is the instruction that we're gleaning from the reading of the text. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6 through 10. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is critical. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God unto death. All right? Now, that is taking it one step further than what we used to think about what we should be loving God for. It says unto death. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6 through 10 says this. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth until the other end of the earth. Now, remember last week we talked about being unequally yoked. This is what verse 8 says. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall thy eye pity him. Wow. Neither shall thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Now, this is what Israel were facing, okay? God was not as lenient as he is because of grace. Grace gives us leniency. But now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, and see what Paul says about it. And Paul is critical, my brothers and sisters, but it's not a physical death that Paul is inciting, because with Jesus we have grace that repents us from this physical death immediately, as Moses dictated to Israel to do unto those who did not adhere to this instruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22 says this: if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. You hear what Paul just said? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now that is telling us, let him be cursed. Okay, now this is what this instruction should mean to us in our lives. This is the ultimate requirement for eternal life. Love is to obey God's commandment. That is critical, because God is love, and he is requiring us to love the Lord thy God unto death. If you have any questions, like I said, you can get them to me, and I'll be pleased to answer them. All right, what we're going to do now, before, after the break.
Blind spots. Blind spots are the places that we allow ourselves not to be changed. Areas that you won't allow your faith to touch. Where your faith is not penetrating and you don't see it. Vengeance and anger and hurt create blind spots. I'm not talking about good people and evil people, right people and wrong people. I'm talking about places where there should be love, but there's hate. Like maybe your heart. I wonder what is in your blind spot. Who is suffering in your blind spot for the lack of something that you refuse to give? Some people are nicer to strangers than they are to their own family. How can you say that you love God and hate me just because you're gifted and just because you're anointed and just because you're successful doesn't mean you're right? Just because you made a lot of money doesn't mean you're right. You cannot substitute cash for righteousness. If God measures the saturation of our faith by the way we treat people, how deep is yours? How deep are you really? What I'm asking you to do is to reflect the mercy you have been given. The reason I have to be merciful is because I have received mercy. And every time I want to be judgmental, I keep remembering something that God did in my life. Mercy doesn't end with you. Mercy begins with you. I think God wants to make you a sanctuary. He wants to make your heart a sanctuary. This is not about them. This is about you. God wants you to be free. What's in you?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
And again, I say praise the Lord. And now what I'm going to do is give you a preview of what we're going to study next time we get together. We're in season 4, episode 3 we'll be going to, and the title will be God Ordains 10 Significant Commandments. And here is a short pitch. Moses describes what God commanded to Israel. That's what we're going to be reviewing. And here is a short, detailed description. Thou shalt not is delineated for the nation of Israel as prescribed by God. There are so many thou shalt not. Remember, we're talking about 613 commandments that Israel were under. Now, the first instruction is going to be God establishes commandments so that we fear him always. The second instruction, the seven-year release. The third instruction, do not risk judgment. No respect of persons. No receiving of gifts. The fourth instruction, the leaders over Israel shall obey the law of God. The fifth, priests belong to God, and we went through some of that today. Instruction six, remove the evil from among you. Number seven, when thou go against the enemy, do not be afraid. Next week is going to be exciting. We'll be going through that. Now what we're going to do is staying in accordance with my mission statement that everyone be exposed to salvation. My very good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this body teaching, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of everything that Jesus Christ has said. Now, that being said, what I want to do is go over some of the highlights of our program's description and format. The first, stressing the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus the Christ said it best, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So in our study, we concentrate on spiritual application first, and then we know that the spirit emanates the flesh. When Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's spiritual. And then he said physically, I will add the rest to you. The second, drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God and Jesus Christ. I think they are critical that we know the promises of God. And there are drills and exercises we can perform that will help illuminate that better for us. Number three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other from the other. Now, we know how critical that is, for Jesus came to fulfill, not to destroy, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. So if he's fulfilling, there's got to be a connection between the old and the new, and that's what we constantly look for before we validate. And the next would be the use of Scripture to validate opinions. That's why we go back and forth. And the fifth one, this is our mission statement. This is for everybody. That is the mission statement. It's not just for Christians. This is for all of God's creation. Okay, with that, and before we close out this evening, I will quickly review what we went all over today. We went over the way you are humbled and proven by God. And that is so significant because Jesus told us, I am meek and humble and lowliness and lowly of spirit, and no one can come to the Father but by the Son. So being humble is critical, and that is what proves our worth to God. The second instruction, number nine, do not forget the Lord thy God. And we know how significant that is. When we are lavished with worldly possessions and our talents are desired of man in the world, we got to be careful. We got to make sure we give and not forget God. The 10th instruction identified and defined righteousness and wickedness for us. And we know that Isaiah said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we know because God, Jesus told us, he didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance, that means we're all on the side of the wicked, and we need to repent and let Jesus save us from destruction. Instruction 11, the tribe of Levi belongs to God exclusively, as the Christians belong to Jesus Christ. We should be aware that we are priests after the order of Melchizedek, of whom Jesus the Christ is our high priest and prophet. So we are required as priests to go out and labor with love in his vineyard, as Paul described it. That is significant for us. The 12th instruction was blessings and curses. That is why standing on the promises of God is so critical to us, my brothers and sisters, because we're standing on the promises of the blessings. Instruction number 13, when you cross over the River Jordan, no going back. This, Jesus said it best, if a man put his hand to the plow and looks back, he is unworthy of the kingdom. That is something that as we make our commitment to Christ and Christianity, we should not backslide. We know that we have grace to give us repentance, that those who are faithful can come back. So with Jesus, we get reprieve, but we should practice as sternly as God committed Israel when he said, when you go over the River Jordan, no going back. And then our instruction of 14 was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God unto death. And we know that Jesus included in that our enemies, and we know that strangers are included, and we know that our neighbor is included. We understand that with agape love, that encompasses all the rest of the duties that love requires. And that is what we should be practicing, to love the Lord thy God unto death. So that is the preview, and that is the total of the lesson that we have for today. And I want to thank those who are listening and ask, if you have any questions, you know that you should get them to me in either by way of the chat room or by way of texting or emails, and I will try and get you an answer. And remember that I only am giving you opinion of what I am studying and learning. And so I know that each and every one of us, those who are listening out there, have good opinions, and I would like for you to share them with me if you get a chance to, when you are able to. And so that is going to conclude our presentation for tonight. And what I'd like to do is make sure that you, as you go to whatever you're going to be doing later, listeners, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. God bless.
Just remember, you can email us your questions or comments at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, or you can text us with your questions or comments at 567-259-6043. Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for basic instructions before leaving Earth. BIBLE.